Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, glory. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bibles with you before you're seated this morning, I want to ask you if you would turn with me to the book of Exodus this morning. The book of Exodus, and I want to go Exodus, the 33rd chapter. The 33rd chapter of Exodus this morning. And Exodus chapter 33, looking with me at verse 7 this morning. I want to speak a message today. I want to talk on a topic that may be a little different this morning, but something that, man, it's just been stirred in me, and I want to I gotta get it out. I want to talk about a question. I want to talk about a strange thought this morning. Why stay on the porch? Why stay on the porch? And I'll help you to better understand that here in just a moment. Exodus chapter 33, looking at verse 7 this morning. The Bible says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people, they rose up and they stood, every man at his tent door. He looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." In verse 9, "And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of that tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people, they saw this cloudy pillar standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and they worshiped, every man at his tent door." God, your word is blessed. Would you give us open ears to hear and an open heart to receive it today? And I speak against any kind of distraction that may come against this service in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated here this morning, because when I look at this story here, man, I find this, and I had to read it a couple times this week to really get an understanding of what this was saying here and what this chapter was about. But when I begin to read this, if I was to take a more in-depth look into this particular chapter of Exodus, chapter 33, we would find a few very interesting thoughts about this chapter. We'd find a very few interesting things about it. That chapter 33 starts off with God, first of all, being ticked off. How many know you don't tick God off? You don't want to tick God off. But this story starts by the people ticking God off, making God, making him angry, ticking him off because in this previous chapter, these people have made idol gods out of gold. And so what has happened is these people that, listen, the same people that was delivered from Egypt, the same people that the sea was parted, the same people that God provided a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm, the same God that spoke manna down from heaven and fed these people while they were on their journey. Now they're going on their own and they're making their own idol gods. They're doing their own thing. They're forgetting about how God provided for them. And so, but we find that Moses was a man that, man, he just got up every morning and he still would go out. Here's what's so interesting to me, that while the people were worshiping idol gods, Moses was going up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God. It was at that time in that era. That Moses was up the mountain hearing from God, writing the Ten Commandments, and the people were down the mountain and they were worshiping idol gods. And so we've got to see something here. God tells Moses, he said, "You go and tell those unfaithful Israelites He said, tell them that I'm going to consume them with fire for their sin. And Moses prays, and here's what Moses does. Moses moves the tabernacle out of the middle of the camp of the Israelites. So this was God saying, that God's way of saying that I'm tired of the way that they're living. I'm tired of the fact that they have forgotten that I provided for them. I'm tired of the fact that they are going on throughout life and they're forgetting who I am and what I've done for them. I'm tired of the fact that they have forgotten that I'm the one that delivered them and I'm the one that provided for them. So Moses, I tell you what you need to do. I want you to take the tabernacle and I want you to move it outside of the camp. It would be like me taking the altar this morning and saying, you ungrateful people, you don't appreciate the altar. So you know what? We're going to move the altars out in the parking lot. Now, we're not doing away with the altars. We move them out in the parking lot. So what is that saying? He said that I'm going to move my presence out of the camp. I'm not taking my presence away from you, but I'm going to move my presence outside the camp. What you're used to, and those things that still want to seek me, those that still want to experience me, they can come to where I am. So it would be like me telling you this morning, I'm not taking the altars, but if you still want to pray in these altars, you got to go out there and get it. You got to go out in the parking lot, and that's where you can pray. Because it's a little less convenient for you now. Now you've got to put forth a little bit of effort now. And the people of Israel, that's what they were doing. They would come out of their tent every day and they would see Moses. They would see Moses leave his tent, go into the place of the tabernacle, and begin to pray. Now they were not against what he was doing. But as a matter of fact, they would come out of their tent. Now, when you come out of your house and you step out of your front door, what do you call that area that you step into? The porch. How many of you have got your favorite place is your porch? Anybody? Your favorite place. You love to drink your coffee, look at birds outside on the porch. And so you've got your place. Well, that's what the people here, that they would leave their tent. They would come out with their Folgers coffee and they would step outside of their tent. And as they're sipping on their coffee, they'd watch Moses. They didn't down what he was doing. They had no problem with what he was doing, but they never engaged in what he was doing. They never wanted to be a part of what he was doing. So as they stepped outside of their tent onto their porch, they would see a pillar, a cloudy pillar that would come and hover over where Moses was praying. It was the glory pillar that was coming around him. And Moses was in there. He was communicating with God. He was feeling the presence of God. Can you imagine what Moses was feeling at that time? But the people, man, they just stood out there. And as they just continued to drink their coffee, they said, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, this is great. This is so good. I'm so proud of Moses. I'm so happy that he's my leader. I'm so glad that he's in tune with God. As a matter of fact, there were times that they would say, hey, Moses, would you come here for a minute? Would you do me a favor? The next time you go out there and the next time you go into the tabernacle, would you tell God, would you give God my list of things? Would you give God my list of needs in my life? Would you tell him that little Johnny needs something? Would you tell him that this marriage still needs something? I've had people that have asked me this, folks. They said, would you fast for me this week? No lie. Some of you have done it. And you know my reply back to you. I'll fast for you if you fast for yourself. Don't ask me to do it if you're not willing to do it. Would you pray for me about something? I'll be glad as long as you're praying along with me. As long as you're believing along with me. Why? Because we're two or three come together. There's just something special because something deep inside of you begins to touch something deep inside of God. And baby, all of a sudden your prayers are cooking, man. They're doing something and they're being answered and they're moving the heart of God. But the people of Israel, they would send requests out to Moses and they would say, tell God this. Give God this request. Tell God this is what we need. Folks, I want to tell you something. We as a church and churches of America, we have put God in such a small box. And truly, we have forgotten what God has done for us. Man, I've been on a kick the last couple of weeks about remembering what God has done and not forgetting, because I'm afraid that we have come into a time that we have forgotten and we don't remember what he has brought us from. And so therefore we have pulled God down into a box and we allow our lack of faith to place limits on God. So God wants to change the way that we think about things. He wants to break out of the box. He wants you to step out off the porch and he wants you to experience him in a powerful way again, church. Come on, if you believe that, give God a hand clap of praise like you mean it. Look at feeding the multitude, 5,000 men alone, not counting the women nor the children. What happens here? Jesus asked the disciples, what do you have to eat? And you know what their reply was? Their reply was this. Well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all that we have. I can see them looking at each other saying, this is just not enough. This is not going to work. This is not going to accommodate all these people. This is not going to take care of all these hungry men. Listen, they were thinking about what they didn't have, but God said, I don't care about what you don't have. I want what you do have, and I want to bless what you do have, and I want to do something great with what you do have. Listen, you've got to look at your life this morning and say, what has God blessed me with? What has God given me? And how can I use the giftings that God has given me to bless him and to bless others? What has he given me? But many times we look and say, but I don't have this. And I'm not capable of this. I wasn't blessed with this. Listen to me. God changed the way that they thought that day. And I believe this morning he's doing the same thing in our church. He doesn't care about what you don't have. He only cares about what you do have. And I hope that I've got some people this morning that have enough faith to believe that anything is possible as long as God is in it. That anything that God is able to do, that I still believe that I can talk God out of what he wants to do. So God says, what do you have? So I don't care about what you don't have, but what do you have that I can use and that I can bless others with? God's asking, why? Why, church? Why are you still on the porch? Why do you live your life still on the porch? Talking about what you can't do. Talking about what you don't have enough resources to do with, what you don't have enough wisdom, what you don't have enough education to do. Well, I don't understand this well enough. God says, why are you still on the porch talking about what you don't have? Why are you still on the porch just watching others being blessed? Reading about others being blessed, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is so great. I'm so proud of them. I'm so glad for them. But God said, I want you to come off the porch, and I want you to experience in your life what I'm able to do in you. Oh my God, we got to hear this today. God is asking folks, get off the porch. God said, I'm gonna make you go outside, man, I tell you, this is where I believe God's taking us right now. That God said, I'm bringing you out of your comfort zone. I'm bringing you out of a place that is uncomfortable for you. I'm bringing you out of a place that I'm going to start showing you, as long as you come with a willing heart, with a hungry heart, with a heart of desiring to see things, I'm going to start showing you things that eyes not seen, ears not heard, and it's never entered into the heart of man. But you've got to learn to get off the porch to experience it. And that made it a little less convenient for the children of Israel to worship when the tabernacle was taken away from them. Because at first, all they had to do was come out of their tents, step off their porch, and bam, there it was right there. So God told Moses, he said, take the tabernacle, move it outside of the camp. For the reason that if they still want me, then they've got to come for me. They've got to step off the porch. They've got to come out of the place of their comfort. They've got to seek me. What do you do? What do you think that stopped Moses from going to the tabernacle and seeking God? Listen, absolutely nothing. Every day, Moses would get off the porch. Moses would step out and say, God, today is a new day, and I'm hungry for you. I've got to feel you again today. I got to experience you again today. I got a bunch of complainers that are back at the camp today, and they're wearing me out. But God, I need a refueling today. I need you to do something new in my life today. Everyone else, they would come just outside of their tents, or equivalent of what we would call the porch, and they would watch as Moses went to seek God. They would see that when Moses went inside of the tabernacle, the cloud of God's glory would begin to descend there. God would talk to Moses there. And we've heard before, and here's a little something that will challenge your thinking. The Bible did not say that Moses talked to God. The Bible says the Lord talked to Moses. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that for just a moment, that you're going into a place and the glory cloud comes around? And listen, it's not God, it's not you that's having to do all the talking, but God is beginning to speak to you. That doesn't sound quite like a lot of our prayer meetings, but I believe that sometimes God feels like I do and you do when you're talking to a very opinionative, talkative person and you can't get a word in edgewise. You're too busy asking for stuff. And sometimes in our prayers, I believe we get so discouraged because we pray for our stuff and we want our stuff. But God wants to say that if you would just listen instead of talking for just a minute, I will give you something that will change the way that you think forever. And God talked with Moses, and Moses listened. How wonderful would it be to have God, the voice of God, to speak to us and tell us what's going on in our life? Is that so far-fetched? Not when you get off the porch. Not when you step off the porch and say, God, I want to know you in that way. God, I don't want to be the one that stands on the porch and just stands outside and just thanking you every now and then and going through the routine and going through the ritual and going through the thank you for this and thank you for that. And my name's Jimmy, what can you give me? And all this kind of stuff. And how can you bless me today? And what can you do for me? But God said, I want you to learn that there's a relationship that I want you to have with me. It's an intimate relationship. I want to touch your life and I want to fill you with my presence and fill you with my spirit. And everyone else, they were watching and they were content just to sit on the porch. But not Moses. Moses said, I'm hungry for more of God. I'm hungry for the presence of God. Back then, listen, not just everybody could enter into the tabernacle and experience God in all of his glory. As a matter of fact, before the cross ever took place, there was a veil of a separation that had been placed that went around the Holy of Holies. You could only be a high priest that could enter into where the holiest of holies were. As a matter of fact, it was so holy, they would take a rope and tie it around the high priest's ankles, and his clothing had little bells on it, and they would put their ear, and as long as they can hear the jingles of the bell, they knew that he was in there. He was safe. He was protected. He was sacrificing. He was offering up a sacrifice to God. He was talking to God. He was communicating to God. But it's so sacred, the moment that they heard the bell stop, they knew he died. And they knew that they could not go in there because it's a sacred place. So they would pull on the rope that was tied to his ankles and begin to pull him out. And so God knew this kind of stuff. But after the cross, and after the resurrection of Jesus, and after the death and burial, resurrection, Jesus said, or God said this, he said, I no longer want there to be a separation from my glory and to the people that are hungry. But from now on, I'm going to rip this veil into the thing that separated. And I want my people to step off the porch and get a hunger for me and a desire for me and feel my presence and know that I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want them to feel my comfort. I want them to feel my peace. I want them to feel me wrap my arms of love around them in a storm that they may be going through so that they can feel comfort. God said, no longer will there be a separation. So when Jesus died, he said, I want my people to learn to come off the porch. God said, I want you to get off the porch and experience me. Trinity Harvest, like Moses did. Like Moses did. I'm afraid that we have come to like our porch too much. I'm afraid that we have come too comfortable of our porch. And I want you to understand, you know, because what this does in our lives is it makes us marvel at stories of what has happened throughout the Word of God. Oh, we come here on Sunday mornings and we love the Lord and we sing and we worship and we lift up our hands and we might even sing the songs. But listen, what we do is we marvel at the stories that are in this book. We marvel at the fact of stories and the things that happen at Pentecost. Today is Pentecostal Sunday. It is a Sunday that churches, the Pentecostal Spirit-filled churches, come together and say, I will not forget the story. I'll not forget what happened in Acts chapter 2 where they were all assembled together and cloven tongues of fire came down and set upon them and they were all speaking in other tongues and it was said unto them. Those men are not drunk as some of you would imagine, but they are filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why they're staggering. That's why they're walking. Why? Because something natural has touched something supernatural, and now they've got the power of God in them to go and to be witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, and other most parts of the world. That's what the Holy Ghost is about. But we marvel at that, and we think, oh, how great, how beautiful it is. They begin to speak in other tongues as a spirit gave the utterance. See, some of you this morning, you think that you have to be a ventriloquist, that God has to put his hand up in your back to get you to pray into that prayer language. But I want you to understand the word of utterance means gives you the ability, that you have the ability to speak in other tongues and where syllables begin to form in your mouth and in words. It does not make sense to the mind, but you yield the tongue and you begin to speak it out. Listen, that's being filled with the Spirit of God. And we marvel at this stuff and we think this is great. This is wonderful. But listen, you can experience it if you learn to get off the porch. You can experience it if you learn to step in and say, God, I want more of you. I read a thing the other day that said this, do you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? No, but you need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. And that's the truth. Having the infilling of the Holy Ghost is not for eternity. It is for to have the power to do what you need to do here on this earth today. We say, what's the purpose? The book of Joel says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. It only happens when you're filled with the Spirit. How does that happen? When you step off the porch and say, I'm hungry for a move. I'm hungry for a move in my life. I'm hungry for an infilling in my life. You know, I want to show you this, that we marvel. We marvel at stories of Pentecost. We marvel at that and say, oh, that would have been a wonderful day. But God is still moving today. If the church will learn to move. We marvel at stories of men like David in the Bible. We're thinking, oh, what a great man. He was a man of a young lad that took on a giant, killed him out. He was a young man that became a king. He messed up, but God put him back and God restored him. And what a great story. That only was allowed in his life when David realized, you know what? In order for God to do something great in me, I've got to learn to step off the porch and allow it. We marvel at stories like Daniel in the den of lions. We marvel at stories like that and we think that, you know what, how great that a man, he was supposed to be snacked on by the lions, but instead the lions became his pillow for the night. And we're thinking, how great is that? He would have never had it. It would have never happened to him. If he didn't have enough faith to say, I'm coming off the porch and I'm trusting you, God. We marvel at stories like Daniel. We marvel at stories like Moses. We marvel at stories like Paul. We marvel at stories like men like John the Baptist. I'm reminded that Jesus, he visited somebody on the porch one day, but he didn't go just to sit and watch the sun go down with them. He went to challenge somebody's thinking. And I believe this morning, this is what God's doing to every one of us. He's come to challenge your thinking. He's come to challenge you, to ask you, are you willing to remain on the porch in a place of comfort? Or is there something inside of you that says, I gotta have more? I gotta have more. John chapter 10, verse 23, it records, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt, Lord? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. If you are who you say you are, then tell us plainly. Don't sugarcoat it. And Jesus said, all right, I'll tell you then. He said, I told you. And you have believed not. He said, I already told you this before. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not. Why? Because you're still on the porch. And because you are not of my sheep. I have said unto you already, and I'll tell you again. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. Why does it feel like I'm not experiencing God in my life? Why does it feel like I'm empty sometimes? First of all, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of God this morning is coming about saying, get off the porch. Get off the porch. Experience me in a greater way. Jesus says, you need to get off the porch and follow after me. You know, I thought about something this morning. I want to share this with you here. God let this illustration go good this morning. What you would look at this morning and you would say, It's empty. There's nothing in it at all. That's what you would say. You would think to yourself, well, there's nothing in that, and it's all, it's empty. The glass was empty. But what you've got to understand is it is actually full. It is full this morning by what it is, the surroundings that it is kept in. So this morning, it is full of air. And so what we've got to understand is the surroundings that I carry this glass in. Now, this represents your life. The surroundings that I carry this in will get full of the surroundings in it. There are some of us in our lives, we are full. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're full of something. You're full of something this morning. And that's the truth. You're full of something, but sometimes you don't even know what you're full of. And so what happens is Clay, come here a minute. Help me out here, up here. What you've got to understand is when the enemy comes, and just hold on to that, is when the enemy comes in our lives and we're full of our surroundings, when he bumps us, things that are in us will begin to flow out. And now some of your lives, what you're full of is hate. And you wonder why in life it seems like there's no joy, no love there. Because your surroundings are filled with hate. So when the enemy comes at you and begins to bump into you, hate comes out. Listen, jealousy comes out. Pride comes out. Lust comes out. Things that you have surrounded yourself with, that's what will begin to come out. As a matter of fact, some of you wonder, well, I don't know why this is in my life, but in traffic, man, somebody cuts me off or the devil bumps on me, I'll cuss you out in a heartbeat. Why is that? Because that's your surroundings. Because you're living a life on a porch. And you're not allowing God to fill you with something different. There are some of you this morning that, man, I met people that they get their feelings hurt so fast, so quick. I preached about it Wednesday night. They'll get their feelings hurt so fast. And so anybody can say anything. And then the moment the enemy bumps you, all of a sudden you get your feelings are hurt. You walk around with hurt all the time. Because that's what we are surrounding ourselves with, because we're living a life on the porch saying, I'm happy seeing you get blessed, and I'm happy being a part of what's going on, but I myself have never stepped off the porch to experience God in a personal way. But what God is saying this morning is, he's saying, I want to fill you. I want to do something great in your life. I want to pour something inside of you. James 1:8 says this. It tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So therefore this, although this glass may be full of air, hold it out there, I won't get your boots wet. Although this glass may be full of air, the moment that you start getting a little hungry for the presence of God, the moment you start getting hungry for more of God, the moment you start getting intimate for the things of God, then what's going to happen is he's going to begin to fill you. Listen, there's not enough room for hate and the Spirit of God. Something's got to give. Something's got to go. So what happens? The next time that the devil comes and tries to bump against you, what's going to happen? Hate's not going to come out. It's going to be love. Oh, here it comes again. It's going to be joy. It's going to be peace. It's going to be patience. It's going to be long-suffering. It's going to be comfort. It's going to be encouragement. And what do? We come back and get off the porch again the following Sunday and say, Lord, I'm hungry for more. And the great thing is God to say, oh, I've been waiting for you. I'm wanting to do something great in your life again. And the more he bumps us, faith comes out and peace comes out and joy comes out. Woo! Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, sir. Clay, thank you so much. So the thing you've got to understand is this. What's in you will begin to come out of you. What's in you this morning? What's in you this morning? Because something's in you.
And if you've been on the porch, something other than love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Something other than that has gotten inside of you. But the moment you start saying, God, fill me today. I'm closing. Fill me today with your presence. Fill me today to do something special in my life today. The moment, that moment, listen, his spirit will begin to overpower what has been filling your life up. Oh my God, this is good. I hope somebody's getting it this morning. What I'm saying is this, God's saying, get off the porch this morning and experience me. Man, get off the porch this morning and get a hunger for me. Get off the porch this morning. Have a desire for me. Ask God to fill me with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ask God to give me joy. Tell God, I can't do this by myself, God. I can't do this alone. I need a touch from you this morning. Stand to your feet with me in this auditorium, if you would. So the more you fill up with God's Spirit, the less room you have for other stuff. The more you ask God, fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. The less room you have for discouragement. The less room you have for hatred. The less room you have for the things that just make you want to give up and quit. The less room you have for getting your feelings hurt all the time. The less room you have for laziness. That's why I just felt compelled to call our Wednesday nights, our midweek service, refuel. Because man, there's times throughout a tough week that I've got to get back in here and just being around you and worshiping together, I can feel it. It just begins to refuel me. Just begins to fill me back up again. Does it mean the enemy's going to stop bumping me? No, it just means that something different's going to come out of you because something different is inside.